In the name of the one God, living and true, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Fifty days ago, we gathered in this very same room, like those disciples gathered in the upper room, and we celebrated for the very first time in many months the sacrament we love that has been beloved of us, the Holy Eucharist. It was the day of Christ's resurrection, Easter Sunday. And we said then that there was no more fitting time for us to begin gathering, even in the limited way that we were allowed to do so by our circumstances, because it was an abiding sign to ourselves and to the world that Christ is alive. And that because Christ lives, the church endures. You have remembered me saying that to you. It was the theme of that particular sermon. The church endures. That after such a long time of exile, as we may think of it, we were finally beginning to come back again. We were beginning yet again. And so maybe today, the 50th day, there is no more appropriate day for us to celebrate by being able yet to sing again. Still guarded by our masks and still trying to keep social distance from one another, just in case, out of abundance of caution, as we like to say. But it is Pentecost. And we celebrate yet again that day when, with the noise of a mighty wind, the Holy Spirit descended upon those first disciples again in that upper room. Pentecost Day, I can see many of you have revived the long-standing tradition here of wearing red. Good for you. It is a testament, a witness to our belief that we say in the Creed, that we believe in the Holy Spirit and that it has an impact in our lives. But we celebrate this day not because it is the only day that the Holy Spirit comes upon us, but rather we celebrate it to remember where it started. Scientists tell us that the universe, as they understand it from a physical point of view, not saying nothing about theology, nothing about who was actually in the midst of all of that, they call it the Big Bang Theory that began the universe. That all of the matter we know as the physical universe was actually concentrated in one tiny bit. And there was so much energy within that one tiny bit that with the proper circumstance, which in my mind was God saying, let it be done, it began. And it's been spreading out ever since. In a very real way, that first Pentecost day, that day when the disciples were in the upper room, and they heard the noise of that mighty wind, that was our Big Bang. It was the day that it all began. And it was the day that once it began, it continued to spread, and it hasn't stopped since. Even in the suffering, even in the anxiety that we have been through over the last year and months, the Spirit is still at work. Even when we could not gather here, the Spirit was at work. The Spirit was at work in the renewal of all creation. It was marvelous to see at the beginning of our lockdowns of the pandemic, You may remember news pieces being done on how wildlife started to flourish again because of all the lack of activity on the part of us human beings. In fact, the air was a bit cleaner, the water was a little less stirred up, and the fauna, as it were, emerged from their hiding because they have to worry about these humans. Maybe it was a sign of how God can renew even our physical creation. We, in all of this, may have felt abandoned by God. We, in all of this, may have felt that the Spirit of God was nowhere to be found. But, we now know better. You know, in that upper room, there were tongues of fire as Mother Mary told that marvelous story. And fire in the Holy Scriptures has been a symbol all through our history, the history of God's people, as a sign of transformation. Transformation by the power of God. We know fire in our daily lives. We know that it can destroy. We know that. And so we guard it carefully. But more importantly, we know how it can be used to change things, to transform things. The food that we cook over our fires, no matter how we make them, that fire makes the food taste better. When we are gathering ores from our creation and we put them together and we melt them down by the use of fire, we refine the ore into its purest metal. We know this well here in Lebanon because this very building was built because of that process. Metal emerges, purified, strong. But the fire in that upper room did not consume. It didn't burn up, but rather it spread. You saw tongues of fire on each and every disciple gathered there, as we do in our marvelous window, even by that name, the tongues of fire window. Notice that the fire is there. It's all the same fire. None of it is different, except now that it is on each and every one of the disciples gathered there, as it is as I look at you today. If you have allowed God to baptize you not only with water but with the Holy Spirit, that fire burns in you. It is not reserved only for those first disciples, but rather it lives here and now in you. I can see them. I can see them because each one is an individual tongue over an individual soul. Each one of those souls is given gifts in the power of the Holy Spirit, gifts like courage and wisdom, insight, knowledge, fear of the Lord. These gifts are knit together by none other than God to create a reality that will never end, but spread continually over and over again through the agency of Jesus, his Son, which is the body of Christ, which is the church. We gather here with the tongues of fire on our heads to remind ourselves that we are the ones who are sent out by God to renew the face of the earth. We are the ones who, in proclaiming Christ risen from the dead, tell the world that the Spirit given at that first Pentecost is ever present here and everywhere if only we would open our eyes. We bear the marks of that Spirit whenever we are about the business of setting people free, of removing oppression from others in the world, whether it is the oppression of an economic system that is terribly unequal, or the oppression of people that are locked up unjustly, or the oppression of people who do not know freedom because others are trying to keep them at bay. We know the marks of the Spirit as we work to renew creation, as we seek to have cleaner water and cleaner air, as we seek to do the things that are necessary to hand on the creation we have received better than we received it to our children and their children's children. We see the marks of the Spirit when we order our common life so that together we realize the strength we have as one people. And we undertake these great works in the world, not as individuals, because none of us can do it alone, but rather because we are all given these different gifts. When the Lord knits them together in a community of faith, that community of faith has great power. It is a mark of the Spirit to endure suffering. We saw that in the early days of the church, as people who professed their faith in Christ Jesus even gave their lives in testimony, in witness, and so we call them martyrs. Few of us have been called to that kind of suffering, but I marvel when people feel that wearing a mask is too much to bear. Too much to bear. It is when we do it, though, and we do the things we need to overcome the virus that was so prevalent in our land, in our society, that we now begin to reap the fruits of it. This was the work of the Spirit, guiding, giving insight and wisdom and knowledge to those who knew what to do with it, so that now we can be here, we can stand together, and we can sing the praises of God. The Spirit is alive. The Spirit is alive and well. And the Spirit dwells here. The Spirit dwells in you. On this Pentecost day, it is not for the first time that the Spirit is given, but we might say for the first time again. It is given to us not so only that ourselves, that we can find comfort. We hear that in the words of the prayer at the altar today, when we are warned not to come to this table for solace only, but for strength. That we are bid to come together to this place and to this table, not for forgiveness only, but to be able to be agents of reconciliation in our world. This is the work of the Spirit, set in motion at that first Big Bang, and which has been spreading like wildfire ever since. My earnest prayer for you today is that you would catch fire. Catch fire in the Holy Spirit. Allow that Spirit to strengthen you, to comfort you, to give you wisdom and insight and knowledge that you have the courage you need to proclaim by the red shirts you are wearing, Christ is alive. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.